Hello and welcome to the latest episode in the Cherry Leaf podcast. I thought it would be good if we tied together some of the themes that we have discussed in some of the recent podcasts. So I was trying to think of a topic title for this episode, and this in some ways is a bit like a keynote presentation at a conference, an imaginary conference, just to try and position what's some of the trends that have been happening and try to make sense of where things are going, some of the things that Cherry Leaf is doing, trying to help explain the sort of context of some of the activities and trends. So I thought I'd start off by referring back to an article from 2015 by Jim Gray. And over the years, there have been a number of articles on the idea that technical writing's over. It's a dying career. And in fact, Jim's article was, "Software technical writing is a dying career, but here's what writers can do to stay in the software game." And let me quote from the article. He wrote, "I had lunch recently with a fellow I worked with several years ago. He gave me my last job as a technical writer and my first job as a software tester. He's currently leading product development at a different software company. Times have changed," he said. "I don't have any technical writers anymore. These days, I want the UX to be good enough that the documentation isn't needed." A few days later, I had a drink with another former boss. I managed testers and technical writers while I worked for him. Since then, he's started his own consulting company. "Technical writing's dying off," he said. "It's all about clean, engaging UX now. I have talked to more than 100 startup and small software companies as I've built my business. Almost none of them have technical writers, and almost all of them have UX designers. But the writing's on the wall. If you're not finding fewer technical writing job openings yet, you soon will. Fortunately, your skills transfer to other jobs in software development organisations. You'll need to build some new skills for many of these jobs, but you might be able to land that first job without them and build them as you work." So is this true? Has the technical writing job disappeared since 2015? Well, clearly not, because there are still companies like Cherry Leaf, and suspect a good few people who listen to this podcast are technical writers, technical authors. But I think there is a truth in saying that the role of the technical author is changing, and the requirements and the skills that they need are changing as well. And it may be that the job title changes and the way in which the role is perceived. And that's what I want to talk about in this podcast. So where to start? Well, let's start by going back in history, going back to really when software technical authors really kicked off and exploded as a profession, back into the 1980s and 1990s. And in those days, a lot of software development was for Windows applications. And to create Windows Help, you needed to know about the Windows Help compiler or a help authoring tool. So there was a barrier to entry. You couldn't create help unless you knew how to use these tools. So there's been, I would argue, an assumption that the reason why people hired technical authors was because they had these skills in writing clearly, understanding the user, organizing and designing information. When in fact, I suspect a good deal of the reasons why they were hired was because they had knowledge of a tool that other people didn't have. So let's move forward to today and the days of Windows being the dominant operating system have gone. Today, a lot of software development isn't for Windows applications. And we can categorize it into different groups. There are what you might call large-scale enterprise complex applications that can be delivered through software as a service, through the web, and through Windows and through mobile applications. There are simple, intuitive, web-based applications that are based on the software as a service model. There are mobile apps. There's software designed or aimed at developers, APIs, application programming interfaces, where you're selling data, really, selling the provision of information. There's still hardware. And then there's another group that we can describe or categorize things by, and that is regulated products, where safety is paramount. Things like aeroplanes, military equipment, medical software, medical equipment. Today, in that marketplace, where does that leave technical communicators? Well, let's go through those different groups and categories. And let's start with the complex applications. So the large-scale complex applications tend to have a complex problem in terms of supporting users. They're supporting users who speak more than one language. The product may be in more than one language. The documentation that comes with it needs to be in more than one language. There can be different audience types, different types of people within the organization using the product, because it's often an enterprise-wide solution. There can be multiple products. There can be light versions, pro versions, enterprise versions. There can be version one, version two, legacy issues to deal with. And people may be using multiple platforms. There might be a need for omni-channel information, that people might start off a transaction or an activity on a mobile device, then go to their desktop, might interact with a voice type device. So there become issues around repurposing and reusing content across different platforms, different media, having metadata to be able to filter and select particular information for different audiences, and need to personalize information to link different bits of information together in certain situations, and provide other links in other situations. So it's a complex problem and it needs a complex solution. So in that environment, often to meet the deadlines, to provide a workable solution, you need to use tools like structured authoring. You need skills around information design and information architecture, because you have issues around information design and information architecture. And that environment can't be purely solved by a purely intuitive user interface. There will still be a need for technical communicators in that environment. You might call it information designers. And if we look at regulated products, there's an issue of safety, making sure that mistakes aren't made so that people don't get hurt. And linked with that, an external audience who is checking for compliance and auditing activity that's going on. And a risk for the business that if the documentation isn't correct, isn't complete, that the organisation itself might get sued, responsible people might go to jail for the consequences of that. And often there is a barrier to entry for documenting that type of information, because it needs to be written to an international standard such as ATA 100, S1000D, and so on. So in that area, there still will be documentation that's required, still a requirement for people with the skills. So in that area, it seems unlikely that technical writers, technical authors will go away. But what about the audience or the types of developers that Jim Gray was talking about? What about the group who are developing simple, intuitive, web-based apps? The goal with these products is to have lifetime customers and to have customers who can advocate and promote, evangelize your product, act as a free sales force. In this area, there is a great emphasis on avoiding users getting stuck at any point, customer onboarding, getting them up and running quickly and being successful with the product quickly, and minimizing customer churn, because you're having people paying on a monthly basis. You need to make sure you don't lose as many customers as you're gaining new customers each month. And in this environment, the task-based information to help people use the product is seen as part of the product, part of the design. And as Jim Gray was saying in his article, it's seen as part of the design process. So in this context, the information that traditionally technical authors create is seen through a different perspective. It's seen as part of usability, user experience, and it can also be seen as part of the content marketing as well. Docs as design, you might say. And to create the help, there's a different set of skills. It's no longer required that you use the Windows Help Compiler. The content is often text, which is then compiled into the program itself, or it's HTML. So you either need to know how to write HTML, which is a skill that pretty much everybody has, or you need to know the skills of how to use the IDE, the development environment, to get that text into the application. And often this is developed within an agile environment through 2-week cycles, which means that the documentation can also need to be written in the same way as if the code is written. So a docs as code strategy, that it is packaged and follows through using tools like GitHub to map and follow through with the code that's being developed through these agile cycles. So in this environment, there are extra activities over and above just writing the words. There's user research, there's user analysis. Now, it can be possible to separate the user interface design and the user writing. So design skills as such, in terms of wireframing or journey flows, that side of things, it may be possible to have that as a separate role for the developers or other people within the UX department, separate from the writing activity. Now, if you go back a few years and software as a service, and that may be reflected in the article that Jim Gray wrote, there was very much this perception that no documentation was needed. You could create a perfectly intuitive application. We've seen that change and seen a growing appreciation for user assistance, that there's only so much information you can cram into the user interface, and a growing belief that helping sells and that there does need to be documentation, knowledge bases, as well as content that exists within the UI, within the user interface. And also what often happens with these simple intuitive products to remain competitive, to avoid being seen as a commodity, extra functionality is added or new markets are opened up, new versions are offered, and that complexity that you see with enterprise-wide applications starts to creep into these simpler applications. They start to get developed to be marketed into other countries that don't speak English. There's pro versions and light versions, and that complexity starts to build. The other groups, mobile applications. Well, with mobile applications, a lot of the issues are essentially the same as with simple intuitive web-based applications. And the other situation, or the added layer that there is with mobile applications, is often what they're doing is they're providing a front or a front end to an API. They are interacting with an API to get data from that. So there's not much to say in terms of mobile applications and skills that we haven't really covered with the simple web-based applications, or what we'll now say about APIs. So alongside software as a service and web-based applications, the other big growth area in the software development marketplace has been APIs. The difference being here that the APIs are for a developer audience, and the documentation that's provided is for a developer audience. In many ways, the documentation is the product. And as the number of APIs has grown, as more APIs have developed, again, there's been more competition. There's been a need to stand out more and a need to explain more clearly and with more detail what an individual API does, why somebody would want to use it, and that also that need for that quick win, how they can get up and using it very quickly. Here we're also seeing an appreciation that documentation is important, that developers need more than just reference information. So this change from Windows-based applications to applications delivered over the web, delivered as mobile devices. Complex applications, simple web-based applications, mobile apps, APIs, regulated products. And of course, there's still hardware and the specifics of documenting hardware as well. What does this mean for the future of technical communicators? Well, it might mean some rebranding. If the role of the technical author is defined by the deliverables and the deliverables are seen as a paper manual, a PDF, or Windows help, then it might need to have some rebranding or someone to use a different job title. Having said that, we've been looking at whether there has been any significant change in job titles like programmer writer or content designer, UX writer, to see if those job titles are emerging. And to date, we haven't seen particularly significant growth in those areas or for those job titles. So job titles might take a little while to change. What is important is that these new situations, the APIs, the software as a service applications, the web app applications, and the way that they're framed as being part of UX does mean that there are needs or as a requirement for different skills. So there's still a need for the existing skills, understanding users, understanding what they need, talking to subject matter experts, writing a model of content that maps to the model of the users and maps to the software, writing clearly and unambiguously, organizing information in the right way so it's findable. And in addition to those skills, some new skills. Skills that you can categorize into to different ways. So for the software as a service area, for the web-based applications, more UX, more design skills. Now, Jim Gray talked back in 2015, seeing the skill set needed as being graphics design, usability testing, prototyping, and testing. We see it in a slightly different way. And this explains why we've been developing some of the new training courses that we've been rolling out. So from the UX writing side, what we would argue is that it's more likely that within the role of UX and user design, that there will be a specialism called UX writing. So the designing of the workflows, the designing of the wireframes, the product itself will remain within the domain of UX designers or programmers and developers. We can avoid a clash between trying to step on their toes and their skill set. And instead, that there could well be, or what we're seeing slightly starting to emerge, is a role called UI writing, UX writing, UI text writing, micro copywriting. And if we look at the role in that way, then, and we look at the skills that technical authors have and the gaps, then we can see the bridge that needs to be made. In that context, the new skills or additional skills that people, technical writers, need to acquire is the ability to write microcopy, an understanding of user research, an understanding of the trigger conditions, when this text might appear, the context in which it would appear, and a better understanding or the ability to research and measure the impact on users of the work that they do. The other area where you have this software as a service model is that technical writing is now appearing as part of the onboarding process, the getting started process, where people are no longer stuck and frustrated, but they're prevented from being stuck and therefore are not in a stressed state, that there is also a need to acquire skills in technical copywriting. So the reasons why we've been talking about issues around UX and technical copywriting is because these are emerging trends, and the reasons why we've launched a technical copywriting course and we're developing a new UX writing course is so that there is a way in which technical communicators can acquire the new skills that they need. The other one, API documentation writing, will also grow as well. And we already have a training course on API documentation. In that area, what the technical authors need to know is an appreciation of what content people need to use an API, and also what they can generate automatically from the Swagger files and other tools that are used to create APIs, and in some situations, how they can create the code samples that developers need to help them use the API. So to summarize and to wrap up, if we go back to where we started in that article by Jim Gray back in 2015. He wrote, "Software technical writing is a dying career." We would change one word in that and argue that software technical writing is an evolving career. And there are a number of things that writers can do to stay within the software game. There's still going to be need to assist users, both to prevent them getting stuck and to help them as and when they've got stuck, and that they will need to do that using words. It may be reframed and changed from being seen as a role of writing manuals and seen as a UX problem or a design problem. There'll still be a need for people with the skills to write words, to organize those words in a clear and unambiguous role. What do you think? Do you agree? Do you think the changes that we're making in terms of the courses that we're offering, and equally to correspond with that, complement that, the services our project side are working with as well, do you agree? This is the direction, the future for technical communication. Have you seen any new job titles appear? Let us know. You can contact us, info@cherryleaf.com. So until the next podcast, thank you for listening.